Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eSchool News' podcast, where we delve into the latest and greatest EdTech issues in the digital age. My name is Kevin Hogan. I'm Content Director for eSchool News, and I'm happy you found us today. This month, we do a deep dive into the ongoing battle against cyber threats. We explore the intersection of technology and human behavior, where the real battleground lies in preempting threats before they breach the network. I had the pleasure to speak with Rutger Todger, a longtime colleague and cyber threat expert, who underscores the importance of leveraging advanced technologies like machine learning and threat intelligence to stay one step ahead of adversaries. Yet, amidst the buzz of AI and cutting-edge defenses, Rivka reminds us of the foundational importance of sound data management and collaborative efforts across departments in order to keep networks safe. It's not just about the tech. From scrutinizing insurance policies to investing in robust threat intelligence systems, as well as fostering those cross-departmental cooperation efforts, her advice serves as a roadmap for IT leaders striving to safeguard their institutions. So buckle up, stay vigilant, and let's navigate the cyber frontier together. Have a listen. Rivka, once again, thanks so much for joining me. It's our annual cybersecurity state of play update. Always great to get your insights. So I really appreciate you taking the time.
My pleasure.
Here we are at the top of the year 2024. I guess it's safe to say now that we've kind of gotten away from the pandemic or survived well, as we talk to each other, we survived the pandemic. But in general, things to be going back to whatever normal is. But it's the time of year I'm usually asking you about where we are. I know that security and cybersecurity, even during the depths of the pandemic, even during like the most daunting parts of it, that was still the number one priority for most of our readers and our listeners was, you know, the continuing attacks against their institutions on their networks. It actually got worse, as I understand it, during that time and continues to be just a number one priority for senior executives of higher institutions. Talk a little bit about your experiences and where we are right now when it comes to that never-ending battle.
It is a never-ending battle. And there are two important things happening right now and for this year in higher ed. And I'm actually working with two universities, which I can't talk about, but they're East Coast around New York. And here are the things. One, there have been some class action suits against universities because there's a lot of constituents. It's like they're their own countries, if you think about it. They have the trustees, okay, that have a fiduciary responsibility, the students, the parents, the faculty. There's a lot going on there. And one of the things that's happening now in enterprises, not just in higher ed, but it has a specific impact, is that the IT executives that are in charge of security are also potentially legally liable for breaches. Okay. This is a brand new thing. Well, it's newish. You know, it's been brewing for a couple of years. The class action suits against universities have not made it better. A lot of these folks in IT who create the access control and then monitor it had their contracts long before this happened. All of a sudden, they're reviewing, you know, insurance policies. Are you doing all this? Can we reinsure you? And if we do, and there's a breach, are we even paying your claim? And if all those things don't happen, how liable is the CTO and the CTO at a university? So there's a lot of stress here. And traditionally, the CTO inside a university is not able to secure financing and conduct cooperative things with operations people like the chief operating officer and the head of legal and the CFO. And now all of those things are coming together in a confluence. And I know this sounds like a joke, but to me, the most important thing that the head of IT could do this year in a university instead of getting another security certificate is to take an accounting 101 class. Honestly, because the way things are being audited and the way things are going, they have to understand where the threats are coming from, how they mirror like in the banking industry, you know, there's fraud inside your network, and what everyone wants to do is detect the threat before it gets in. They have to do that. And universities have other things. Look, my daughter graduated from college last year. She still has her EDU email, okay, which she will use for any discount she can get. And now she's an alum, and they want to keep in touch with her until one day she is employed long enough to be able to donate again, right?
Right. When the loans are gone, and then now you give it back to the school.
Right. And but they are not on the school network anymore. It's constantly being mixed with personal email. These are things. How can the IT person be held liable for this, for behavior that they have no control over? So frankly, there is a challenging task that does not exist in other verticals, and they need data and they need information and they need cooperation from human resources, from the dean of students, from the president, the provost, the CFO, and operations, because this is operational risk, which is defined by human behavior. Okay? Go find college students and early graduates who, you know, cut and paste auth codes for what, you know, and how they're using it. And how can somebody be responsible for everything without the authority or even the capability?
And the high flex models, right? I mean, these, the hybrid things that were established or even just kind of accelerated as a result of the pandemic that are still going to be there and students have an expectation for, just make the networks that even more exposed, right?
Yes. And, you know, that kind of thing, I think many higher ed IT directors will tell you that they've gotten a handle of. The pandemic actually sped that up. You know, how secure is your Zoom? You have to log on. You can't do it without your EDU. The professors have been taught to see if there's a stalker, because that's actually network security, you know, and they were long integrated into things like Zoom and Canvas and the other things that they use. The issues now are really behavioral and getting together to handle operational risk when they're not prepared to do this, right? And they need a big voice, and they need an advocate in the finance department, and they need an advocate in legal. And I strongly urge IT people to go make those friends and say, look, the liability will fall on the university. The class action suits are coming to the university, right? When parents' financial data is exposed and all of that, they're going to come there. So they need to work together. And I think that that and understanding the economics and the insurance of it, should they should have time to do that in their job.
So we haven't even talked about technology. I mean, it seems that the priorities right now are in terms of personal behavior. I mean, personal responsibility, yeah, as an executive in terms of taking that accounting class, making friends with the lawyers. Anything happening on the technology front? I mean, or is that just kind of just a constant, you know, I got a bigger gun, I've got a bigger defense to your bigger gun sort of situation?
No, there is something happening on the technology front. And it's an old saying, you're as good as your data. But what is going on in the technology front is the ability to see the threats before they get to your network. Okay. And then this is going to be a go around again for IT executives inside universities to get the funding to do this, because a penny of prevention is worth a pound of cure is absolutely true. Our laws are still behind, and you know, they kind of lead in banking and finance, where they treat fraud and they treat criminals that get, that betray access control, but they wait till they're there. This has to be the threat before it becomes a target. And what's great in technology is how smart the data is becoming. All right. So you can now detect with the right kinds of programs. That is great. It's like a portal that IT executives can go in to see what are the symptoms before there's an attack. Okay. And using this intel and seeing where the vulnerabilities are, the human ones, before it happens. Because, you know, the FBI gets 2,300 phone calls a day. The Verizon 2023 report, which is Global Resilience Federation data, also contributes to that. It's all credential stuffing, phishing. You've heard these terms. This is where some horrible percent of logins in average networks, like 60% of them, have some fraud associated. people are getting in and can impersonate employees, all right? And when you have an environment like universities, you need to know before this happens. You need to know when there is a spike in breach data, which means have credentials been taken? So if there's a spike pattern that's going to happen before a campus is hit, that's when you can go and look at the vulnerabilities. The humans. How are they getting in through the humans? So I think for universities that have all kinds of people accessing their networks, you know, you take students who also run the clubs and things like that, and they're funded by the universities, and now you're getting a mix of access. And so you really need to watch it, how those credentials are being protected before there's an attack, because then you're in prevention land, and prevention land is less expensive than mitigation land. Always look at those data. Look how good your data is. How much is your intel? I mean, our world is mirroring this. So yes, and there's some really great data out there.
And we made it almost 10 minutes without mentioning AI, but I can only assume that that is going to be part and parcel of next generation defenses and cybersecurity aspects, so both on the attack and on the defensive, right?
Absolutely. So it needs its guardrails, and we're not there yet. But I would also like to define AI here, because everybody calls everything AI that's not AI. ChatGPT is machine learning, data in, data out, data in, data out. You take me to a cool robotic center where the robot can clean my house, now you're talking about AI. But this is machine learning, and it's a very good point. Okay, so guardrails on machine learning are going to be very important, and then they can be super helpful. But because it's machine learning, data in, data out, monitoring it with really good threat intel data can help someone in IT. So you can sort of see how it's doing and use it as a sample set of what you need to protect and what you need to protect against. But it's great for disseminating information, for engaging, because they have to engage such a diverse body. Okay, think of any other corporation where you're dealing with students and then a presidential provost and executives. And I'll tell you one other thing that I would like to stand by any executive in IT is that by and large, it's the C-level and the executives who are exempt from training. They're the ones who need it most, because am I going to steal the credentials of an administrative assistant who has access to nothing? No. Right. I want the C-suite that have keys to the kingdom. That's where I'm coming in. So only training when you have a rank and file, and universities are rank and file, does nothing. The students will learn the fastest. They will do things, and you can impose things on them, but you have to bring those executives and force it.
Especially because it's only in the last couple of years that those provosts have begun to use email anyway.
Right. And the board members and the trustees come in without their EDU emails. Okay. So the biggest problem with breaches is when people mix personal with official emails, and then they're all remote, because in the university environment, the IT guys have that Wi-Fi locked down, right?
Yeah.
They have their firewalls. You know, board members, just like students, they come in with their Gmails and they're accessing all kinds of stuff. And that's what's creating a problem. It's exactly why the remote workforce during COVID created problems. Mm-hmm. Because you're sitting at home on the same Wi-Fi that your teenagers playing all their infested games on your screen, on your, you know, on the same router, right? It's exactly why. So that kind of thing, and they need budgets for good data.
Yeah. So much great information in such a short period of time here. As a last question for our readers and for our listeners, prioritize their list for 2024. I mean, all the various things that you talked about, great advice along the lines. Can you give us a top three in terms of a to-do when they wake up tomorrow morning?
Yeah. Here we go. One, examine the insurance policy of the university. There's going to be fine print. There's going to be a list of 10 little things somewhere along the line that if you do not do, they will not pay a claim or things like that. And work, this is a great project to go to legal with and your operations person with and say, I'm going to be liable for this in the end. You go over this with me. I want to know definitively, and I want this unpacked for IT. Two, threat intel systems. Data, you're only as good as your data about human behavior get one that analyzes the threats before they become a problem on your network. And the third part is to coordinate with other departments for the human behavior. This could be an HR issue of all your constituents, including your trustees and people who are coming in outside of the network. What is the protocol? And that's why to do the insurance first, because it's like compliance. It will drive what you need to do. And then by the time you're done with that, you're going to have training. I'm sorry, I'm adding a fourth. Training. Training that no one is exempt from.
Well, as always, great advice, Rivka. I appreciate your insights every year. Maybe we'll talk again before next year. But once again, good luck with all of your work and with your work with your universities, and just always appreciate it.
Appreciate you too, and thank you for everything you do.
And that's all we have for this month's edition of Innovations in Education. Be sure to go up online to eSchoolNews.com and subscribe if you are interested in the topics to all of our podcasts, as well as check out the latest and greatest news and resources that we have online and in our newsletters. Once again, I'm Kevin Hogan, Content Director for eSchool News. Thanks for listening, and I hope you click through again soon.